I want you to get your Bibles. I know you still have your coffee and your donuts and your juice. Hey, that's a blessing. We break bread together. We commune together. And many powerful, powerful things take place when you centered around communion. Many powerful things. Beginning of the service, I begin to tell you about two individuals that had a name that was given to them by their parents that had a certain way about them. They were known by what was given to them and how they were acting and how they were. God has a way of dealing with those issues in your life, but you have to encounter God to get that change. Do you understand? Jacob was known as a supplanter, a deceiver. You understand that? But it wasn't until he wrestled with God that God changed his character and his name to become Israel. Jacob had an opportunity to just let it go and not wrestle with God. But he wrestled with God and he made it a point not to let go until God blessed him. Are you wrestling with God right now with some things in your life that you need him to do? Then don't let go. Have the attitude and the tenacity like a pit bull. Lock down and don't let go. Don't let go. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's tough. But God wants to get to you what's yours. I've been on this series about the yes of God, the overflow of God. More importantly, we have to understand what his intention is for us. It goes back to Genesis when he placed us in the garden. And he gave us dominion and power and authority over everything. Everything. That crawled, that swam, that was in the air. We have authority over everything. But throughout the course of time, we begin to lose the grip and understanding of who we are. And people blame that because we fell. Baby, that was a long time ago that Adam and Eve fell. Jesus reclaimed that and put us back into that garden. We just think we still got to till the garden, that we've got to go pull the weeds. God has for you what he has in store for you since the beginning of time. Nothing that you are going to do is going to cause you to lose it. Contrary to what many theologians want to tell you of the past, when you begin to read the Bible, you probably have a study Bible, and that study Bible probably has some excerpts that are written to you by the scholars of old. Did you hear me? These are commentaries that are given to us by theologians that had a mindset of religiosity and a mindset of works. I want to introduce you to a new writer, which is actually the first writer, which is the Spirit of God, that came into the garden even after we fell to commune with Adam and Eve. Even after they fell, he still came to the garden to walk with them, talk with them, spend time with them. But we read all through Scripture that there's certain things that we've got to do. We've got to do this, so we shall not commit adultery. Yeah. We should not steal. We shall not murder. Yes, you're not supposed to. Why y'all getting all mad at God? And if there's a murderer in here, okay. I love you. If there's a thief in here, I love you. If there's someone committing adultery right now in the act of adultery, guess what? I love you. I'm not judge, nor the person sitting next to you is judge. And when you stand before God, he's the only one. So we need to take the hat off of being a judge and put on the hat of sonship. We're sons. Meaning that we have the rightful heir to the kingdom of God and everything that he has for us. Jabez, everybody knows that prayer. Everybody prayed it forever. There's books that went out about Jabez. Oh, but Jabez, pray the Jabez prayers before you go to bed. And you pray it all the time. Well, let me just show you something. The prayer is great once you have an understanding why he prayed. Jabez prayed because mama put something on him that wasn't him. Some things are put on you, and you don't even know why they're put on you. And you're walking around in life not knowing why these things are happening in your life. And I want you to understand something. God wants to change that. He wants to change the perception. I got this message last week. I was my only day at the gym last week, and I ran into a coach that coached me my seventh grade year. To me, he will always be coach. He coached me in basketball, coached me in football, track, and in weightlifting. So he was there the whole time. So when I ran into him last week, he walked up to me. He goes, "Hey, Marty, how are you?" I said, "Hey, Coach Christie, how are you, sir?" But he's not a coach anymore. He's a math teacher. I said, how do you like teaching? He goes, "I love it. That's what I was born to do, is to teach." I said, "But you'll always be my coach." He goes, "Because that's the way you know me." Say it again, sir. Perception. Getting too much of the hissing, so I'm going to switch and go to the other one. This is just a process to get me to become the teacher that I've always become. So I'm working out, and he's working out, and I realized something, that he was the coach that we used to always tell me, because there was, I'll tell him myself, Mama. There was a game, and they made the quarterback, which is me, punt the ball. I'm not a punter. My mom's over there laughing already. So I grab hold, you know, they snap the ball. The ball's supposed to go that way. So I get the ball, and I kick the ball, and I'm looking for the ball. Man, that one went far, but everybody's running this way. It went behind me. And the opponent got the ball, and they scored. Isn't that funny? That's kind of like how we are in Christ. We're supposed to go that way, but we let the enemy push us backwards, and we make a mistake, and we're trying to go forward, but something makes us to fumble, and the opponent picks it up and takes it away from us and scores on us. That's just because I went to the gym, baby. Watch. Ball went this way, girl. You went to the football game, right? You went to the football game. Every punter that punted, the ball went forward, didn't it? It went high and forward. Mine went high and backwards. And I'm looking for a ball like I thought it sounded. Boom. It went behind me. I tell him myself, girl, no problem. This is what this coach did. Coach Crestes said, "Son, don't worry about it. We didn't train you to do it. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Thank you. Good coach." Why? Because he assumed responsibility for his action, not my action, that I'm the one that's supposed to be down and like felt so bad. Well, I never went back to being a punter. He said, "You need a lot of work." But what he told me, he said, "Son, whatever you do in life," whatever you do in life, don't ever forget, if you're not taught, you're not held accountable. Now, that was a long time ago. That's seventh grade. So I would see him at Gold's Gym every now and then, and start talking to him again. And he's loving teaching more than he's ever done coaching. But I asked him, I said, what did you love about the most about coaching? He says, to see people try something that they're not good at and to become better. See, when my son Joseph played middle school, he got hurt and we were sent to the emergency room.
here comes this coach that was his coach. The same coach. The same coach. Goes into the emergency room. He says, Marty Perez? I said, yes, sir, Coach Cressy. How are you, sir? It's my wife, this kid. He goes, Joseph is your son. I said, yeah, he's my stepson, but I've raised him. That's a good boy right there. That's a good boy. The same character that I remember about him was still being displayed. Perception. Perception. Have you ever felt like the perception somebody has about you is what they keep about you? Yeah. Did y'all hear that? Yeah. Let me just say it again. Remember, I have till 4 o'clock today, so I warned y'all. What is tomorrow's day? What is it? What they call it? Labor Day. So I'm going to labor today so you can have off tomorrow. Now listen. What perception do people have about you? Are you kind of going through that and thinking, oh, I don't know what kind of perception they have about me. Now, have you moved on from the way you used to be? And come in contact with someone of your past? And they still have the perception how you used to be? Ain't that right? Because I also ran into another person at the gym. Talked to me like I was still a player. For some of y'all that don't know what player means, I'm not talking about playing basketball. I play with... Wasn't a one-woman man. All right? And he started talking to me that way and coming up to me and say, did you see that girl over there? Boy, she fine. Did you see her? Man, how things going? You still partying like you used to party? Are you talking about Monday through Saturday or Sunday? Yeah, let's be real. Because some of y'all would say, no, I serve Jesus. I don't do that you know of. Guess what the next question out of his mouth was? What kind of line of work are you in? I'm getting ready to hit you between the eyes, son. I'm your deliverer. He became like Moses. You pastor a church? Man, I'm so sorry about talking like that. I'm so sorry. Why are you crawfishing? That means they're walking backwards. Why are you changing the way you're talking to me? Oh, because you're a pastor. I shouldn't be talking that way. But you'll talk that way when I'm gone. You're still the same one, aren't you? You're not married no more? Go figure. Really? What happened? She busted you. Y'all are crazy. Y'all play out the whole scenario in your head right away. Y'all play it out like how you would have responded, right? But listen, watch. He thought I was still a player. Because the physique looked good, you know. I'm playing. I'm just playing. So I tell him as we're sitting there just talking now that, you know, I understand it's, you know, you got caught, man. Hey, man, just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and make some change. That's it. Just make some change. Now, did I come against and judge? Did I walk away because now I'm a pastor and you're still stuck? No, I kept talking to him. And he says, well, you know, where's your church? Out of my mouth, I said, you better not come. Oh, no, you better not come if you're not ready to come. What do you mean? You remember when we used to hang out? And after about 6 games of quarters? Some of y'all know that. And I would be acting a fool. And he goes, yeah. And I turn the radio up even louder. He goes, yeah. That's the way my church is. says, what? I said, we get drunk. We get high. We dance and we carry on. And we do it for God. That's what we do. We're loud. And I talk real. Sometimes I mess up. But that's the church we have. You're welcome to come, but I forewarn you. We are not a one-hour service. And I'm not going to beat you half. Just going to tell you the truth. Well, you know, I go to such and such church, and I said, well, that's good. Keep going. I'm not here to try to make you come to mine. Matter of fact, I was here working on you came to me. If you want to know really about Jesus, get in your word, find a church that you hear your shepherd's voice, and you'll grow, and things will begin to change. Perception. Perception that the people had about Jacob was he was the deceiver, he was a supplanter, and he continued to do things from day one. Day one. He stole the birthrights of his brother. But as time went on, he began to increase. One thing took place. He knew something about God. Daddy can't change me. Mama can't change me. Sister so-and-so definitely can't change me. The shepherd can't change me, but God can change me. If you come to church thinking that you're going to change, you're not going to change. If you come to God to get change from God, you're going to change. Do you understand? You've got to understand that the one that makes change in your character and your perception, how people see you, is him. You have to apply what is being taught to you. If you don't apply what's being taught to you, it's like me giving you those chicken McNuggets. Okay, let's put it this way. Giving you something really good to you, putting the plate down in front of you, your favorite food, but yet you don't want to eat it, but yet you feel like you're full. How are you going to get full unless you eat it? Chew on it. Digest it. Let it become a part of you. And that's what I want to share with you, is that the perception that is out there sometimes stays with you, but God has a different view on you. Go in your Bible to the book of, people call it Philemon, Philemon, Phil all the mons. It's the book that came out of Jamaica. Yaman, Philemon. I want to begin to set this up for you and to show you that the Apostle Paul is writing concerning a spiritual son, but writing a letter to another spiritual son. Do you understand that? Paul is writing this letter as he is in prison in Rome, and he is a prisoner, but writing the letter, sending it out. But the letter is not about him. The letter is about the courier. Okay? Have you ever had a letter that has been given to you and it's about you? Huh? It's like, Jackie, I want you to take this letter and I want you to take it to your boss and it's all about you. You know what you're going to do. You're going to try to go steam that thing, open that thing up so nobody knows you opened it up to read it. Or you'll go and look in the light just to see what's in there. See if I can get any kind of inclination of what this man of God is writing to me about, and he's in prison. And you would think that the man in prison is not doing so hot because he's in prison, and yet I'm free. But you're writing a letter concerning me? You understand? Now, I would title this message, The Courier, and the message about the courier. Now, the book of Philemon is a very interesting book. It's, depending on your page or your electronic device, it has one chapter, 25 verses in it, and it says a whole lot about how we are to be. If you want to understand the Bible, I want you to understand that Paul is a type of Christ. Philemon is a type of a slave owner. And the son that he is writing about, Onesimus, is a slave that is on the run. And I want you to understand the story in the sense that a perception about you will stay with you unless someone shows you something different about you. Amen? What I want to do is I'm going to read it from the Amplified. And we'll start at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, and our brother Timothy, to Philemon, our dearly beloved, share with us in our work, and to Apphia, our sister, and Achaicus, our fellow soldier in the Christian warfare, and to the church assembly that meets in your house. Grace, spiritual blessings, and favor be to all of you, and heart, peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I give thanks to my God for you always when I mention you in my prayers, because I continue to hear of your love and your loyal faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus, which you show toward all saints, God's consecrated people. Do you see that in verse 5? Because I continue to hear of your love and your loyal faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus, and which you show towards all the saints. The love that you have for God, the love that you show unto God, should be displayed to the other believers. Do you understand that? Then why is it so hard for us to get along? You know, I feel like that one, Rodney King, can we all just get along? We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us. And if you love God with all your heart, you should love your neighbor likewise. Those are the greatest commandments that Jesus gave for us to follow. But we always have bickering and complaining going on about our own brothers and sisters that we're laboring with here for the gospel. And people just, I don't want to go to church because there's so much gossip. There's so many people being judged. Or they're two-faced, or they're holy rollers. You can fill in the blank, because they give all kinds of names for Christians. You understand? Oh, you one of those Bible-thumping people. I don't thump my Bible. I read it. And matter of fact, I got more Bibles in my house than I do any other books. Thank God now for technology, I can have them all in one place. Watch this. I always go back to the written word to find out if anything is missing. Always. Well, I downloaded this app, and it was good. It's a real good app. If you watch and you read closely, a lot of the things are being omitted from that. This is good. It smells like Jesus. It's his word. All right. Verse 6, and I pray that the participation and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge is every good thing that is ours and our identification. Did you read that? That is ours in Christ Jesus and unto his glory. It is ours, our identification with Christ Jesus, in association with Jesus Christ. Paul is writing a very significant letter to let him know that because of your association and who you're with, others can perceive you to be a Christian. How many of you are in association with those that are taking you in the wrong direction Monday through Saturday? Because on Sunday, you're in the right direction. Who are you associated with that people can look in who you're associated with and determine who you are? If I want to know about you, I can look at the people you hang around. Those you choose to be at your side are the ones that you have a tendency to be just like. This is what he's writing to. He's getting right in the middle of telling them, I know how you've been acting because they're giving reports about you. So he's writing back to him to let him know, I know you are my son. I birthed you into the kingdom. I taught you. Now, I want you to understand that a slave owner has money, wealth. He's affluent. He's not just another person. He's affluent. He has a realm of influence beyond the realm of his slave, Onesimus. Are you understanding that? Where is Paul? He's in jail. He's down at the county courthouse. He got his orange on, and nobody can see him unless you go on the list and you can see him. Timothy was also in prison with him. Oh, so were some of the other disciples. See, we get caught up in some things as Christians, and we get sometimes put in bondage. And we're in bondage as well, but yet
we don't realize that we're really set free. You may be behind bars. You may be in negative in your account. Or you may be in chase by someone that wants to take from you something that is already yours, but wants to steal from you. But the reality is, there's only certain people that can be in association with you that God has called to be at your side. But you have a tendency to go back to the people that you feel that need to be at your side, so you bring them close to you, and they're not the ones supposed to be there. You ever wonder why you feel so heavy as you're going through your walk? And people are just looking, what's wrong with you? You look tired. I'm tired. I am tired. Who are you connected with? Who are you connected with? Who are you in association with that people look at you and say, oh, those are buddies you're hanging out with? Peace, man. I don't need to be around them. Why don't you want to be around them? Because in who you're associated with, if they're not going in the direction you're going, they're going to keep you from going where you're supposed to go. So when he writes this letter, now he's a great writer, a great writer. Read it. He's writing to the one that's receiving the letter about him. Are you reading that? He's telling them, I've heard good reports about you, son. You're doing wonderful, that you're showing love and grace to the people as much as you're showing to other people. I'm hearing the reports about you. So when you think that your master is away, or the people that, like your pastor, can't see what you're doing, people would tell on you real quick. Real quick. Did you know so-and-so was doing this the other night? Did you know? Where were you? How did you know they were doing that? Because you were right there with them. But I was at a distance. I wasn't actually doing. I was just at a distance. I just so happened to be there. I was getting ready to leave happy hour because that's where I go get my fix. I have my nachos first because it, you know, it's free. And I just have one drink, and I just sip on it all night. But my tab came out to be $60, that one drink, whatever. Now, what time did this take place? Oh, it was about 1 o'clock. We were about to close down. I thought you said you were leaving after happy hour. Happy hour ends at 7. You know how they have a tendency to kind of change the script on you? I saw Sister So-and-so. She had that skirt that went way up to here. And every time she would dance, and, you know, I had to go cover her up. I had to cover up because I was protecting my sister. How did you cover? I had to dance behind her. Just dance behind her so nobody would see. Who are you in association with? So he's writing this to let them know, I know about you. Matter of fact, I birthed you into the kingdom by teaching you the things of the kingdom about Jesus Christ and whom I serve, that I am in bondage right now in prison. I'm free. I'm doing the work of God, and I've been put into prison because I'm doing the right thing. Have you ever felt that? Like you're in prison because you're doing the right thing? Everything just kind of goes the other way because you're doing the right thing. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and it just seems like it ain't working. You got to figure out a new fast. Forget the food because the food didn't help, just made you hungry. So you try a new fast. Well, I ain't watching the news no more. I'm going to fast from the news, or I ain't going to watch TV. I'm not going to get on Facebook. I'm not going to get on Instagram, Twitter. I'm not going to get on Vine. I'm not going to get on all these kind of social media. And by the time you know it, you're sitting there. Oh, yeah. I got that Candy Crush, though. It stimulates my mind. It makes me think. It challenges me to my next level. But you see, you start trying to figure out what you're going to fast and realize that there's nothing you can do to change the way people see you and who you're associated with other than God changing who you are. The Apostle Paul is writing to let him know, I know about you. I birthed you. You're a son to me, and I love you. And I am in here with my other son, Timothy. Watch, this gets really, really good. I love the Bible. Verse 7, for I have derived great joy and comfort and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints who are your fellow Christians have been cheered and refreshed through you, my brother. Therefore, though I have abundant boldness in Christ to charge you to do what is fitting and required and your duty to do, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you just for what I am. I, Paul,
an ambassador of Christ Jesus, and an old man, and now a prisoner for his sake also, I appeal to you for my own spiritual child, Onesimus, meaning profitable, whom I have begotten in the faith while captive in these chains. Once he was unprofitable to you, but now is indeed profitable to you as well as to me. I'm sending him back to you in his own person. Do you see that in verse 12? I'm sending him back to you in his own person. And it is like sending my very heart. Do you understand that? Did you really understand that? I'm giving you a letter that talks about the person that I'm sending you, but it's telling the person that's receiving the letter, it's like I'm giving this person to you like it's all of me. He was once not profitable to you, but now he's profitable. See the switch? What did the slave do? What did Onesimus do? Nothing. What changed was somebody else saw something good in him. Paul saw something good in him that Paul could see that the master, Philemon, could not see. Because as a master who had wealth, who had many slaves, as a matter of fact, having slaves was natural to have slaves. What you probably don't know is that this slave was on the run. He was running away. He had stole something from his master. Haven't you ever felt like God is sending you back to go face the mess that you created? Have you ever felt that way? You started this thing. I'm going to send you back to deal with this thing. It will say, make your bed, now lie in it. Go face the music. Can you imagine this slave? Like, look, can I just stay here with you, Paul, because you love me and you're behind those bars where I should be behind those bars because I stole, but yet you're... All you're doing is just teaching the gospel, and you're behind. I don't understand this, but I feel like I'm the one that's in prison, and you're the one that's free. Can I come in there with you? Because I don't want to go back over there where I came from. But yet you're sending me there, and I'm going to do it out of obedience to you. And I'm carrying now this letter to the person that I have stolen from, and I've been on the run to. Now, I told you, Paul is a type of Christ. Haven't you, in your walk with God, or even before you came to God, felt like you had to run away from something? And in reality, you thought you were running away from God, but you were running right into God. You went right into him, and he begins to change your mindset, called the paradigm shift. And he changes the way you see things so that you have a better understanding of what he has in store for you. Do you understand? So you run away from something, but you're really running right to something. You're running to God. You can never outsmart God. I'm going to act like I'm holy roller, and then when I leave here today, I'm going to go get my drink on. And when I get my drink on, I'm going to go over there and hook up with Sister So-and-so. And after I hook up with Sister So-and-so, ain't nobody going to know because we're going to play it real cool. Really? You know how many places I've been into, and my wife say, isn't that so-and-so? I'm like, yeah. Where are you going? I don't want to talk about it right now. Why? Did you see my hair? It's all messed up. I need to get my hair cut. I haven't even dyed my roots or anything. Like, I got my chanclas on. I'm still in my pajamas. Come on, let's go. Come on. You know how we do. You see someone from church, you're like, ooh. I just don't want to talk right now because I'm in the middle of being alone with God. Shut up. God. Oh, I love gospel. Love the gospel. Verse 13, I would have chosen to keep him with me in order that he might minister to my needs and your stead during my imprisonment for the gospel's sake. But here it is. Very powerful, verse 14. But it has been my wish to do nothing about it without first consulting you and getting your consent in order that your benevolence might not seem to be the result of compulsion or pressure, but might be voluntary on your part. That may be a little bit over your head. You don't do nothing with another man's servant unless you ask permission. Are you hearing me?
This is the Apostle Paul, the spiritual father, the apostle. The apostle is the thumb that can touch every office of the gospel. Can touch every office of the gospel. Is sending now a letter concerning his other spiritual son that he has birthed into the kingdom, saying, but I must ask permission of you concerning this son that I've also birthed into the kingdom, but I need to ask your permission before I do anything. Told you, this one book in the Bible gives you a display on how the kingdom should be ran. But we don't have that going on. We have renegades. Renegades. I got to do this and so on. So you just come over here. Just come. Bible thumper now. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul that writes 2/3 of the New Testament, who himself was changed by perception that the people had about him and his actions the way he used to be. God also changed him. That's why he can write a letter concerning about change and how I see him is no longer how you used to see him, because I see something different inside of him. Once I gave him the right food for him to eat, he was now no longer the same slave. He became a son, and he didn't have a mentality of a slave. He had the mentality of a son, because I understand the grace of God, because it was displayed to me, because I was once Saul, and people saw me one way, and people didn't want to accept me any other way until I had an encounter with Jesus Christ himself. And put something inside of me that made me see me for who I really am. Are you hearing me? Paul could write a letter like this because he himself went through it. Don't have anybody come into your life to speak into your life that have never been through anything they're about to prophesy into your life. I prophesy prosperity and you broke like a joker. All out of order, chaos everywhere. No respect for anybody, but yet you want to be just like them. Who are you in association with? Who are you connected with? I don't have to know you. I can look at who you're connected to know you and who you keep at your side. Paul was writing a letter so that he can change a mindset in this season, in this hour, and he's the one that's in prison. He's in prison. That's a very powerful statement right there. That I got set free. Got set free. Did you get set free? Verse 15, perhaps it was for this reason that he was separated for you for a while, that you might have him back as yours forever. Watch this. Not as a slave any longer, but as something more than a slave, as a brother. Especially dear to me, how much more to you, but in the flesh as a servant and in the Lord as a fellow believer. Did y'all understand what is taking place in this letter? I'm not sending him back to you as a slave. I'm sending him back to you as your equal. Are you seeing that? You know how most taskmasters in your life, okay, let's put it this way. You know how your boss is with you at work? They know that they have authority over you, and so they're going to use their authority to get you to do certain things, correct? But now someone's writing to you a letter saying, oh, you're no longer the boss. He's a boss just like you. Wait a minute. They didn't do that 90-day probation thing like I had to go through. And I get 2 weeks vacation every year paid, and you're going to tell me I got to do the same for them? Because of the love that the Apostle Paul had with Philemon, he had an understanding, because they understood who Saul was, and now they understand who Paul is. Do you understand? When people allow God to make change in their life, the perception that they once had about you begins to change as well. And now, this is so beautiful, he even tells Philemon, he says, if he's done anything and he owes you anything, wipe the debt. And if it's not enough, put it on my account. I told you, Paul is a type of Jesus. You can't pay for your sins. You did all the sacrifices that you could. You did everything that you know to do that was written in the law, but yet you still had a debt to be paid. And Jesus said, just put it on my account. Put it on my account. And I'll take care of it because I am stepping in on their behalf. And because I am in him, he is in me. That is my association. You want to know who I run with? You want to know who I run with, who I hang around with? Look at the people that are being drawn to you. And when they come around to you, do you see the fruits? And if you don't see the fruit, this is what Jesus said to the disciples. Judge the tree by the fruit. By the fruit. And if you see that it's not good, get away from that tree. Get away from that fruit. Because one spoiled fruit will spoil the whole batch. Do you know that? Sometimes we just got to do away with some spoiled things in our life. Sometimes we got to go, when you don't like to clean out your refrigerator, you know when you do it because it's usually the day or the night before the trash comes, and you don't want to go through that one drawer, that one drawer that has, the cilantro that's been there for about 2 weeks, or the potato that starts growing arms and legs and feet. It's just certain things that you find in there you didn't know that was in there, but if you don't get rid of it, it's going to spoil everything else that you put in there that's already fresh. Sometimes you got to clean the junk out. This letter was concerning the slave going back to the master, but the letter was concerning the slave, that he's not going back to the way he used to be. He's going back to be more profitable. Matter of fact, Paul didn't want to send him. You know you got someone good when you don't even want to send him. You want to keep him for yourself. He says, but he's going to be more profitable to you now than he ever was. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter, and he's in prison with Timothy, his other son, who Timothy was a pastor of the church. Do you understand that? Timothy was a pastor of the church, and he's in prison with Paul. Go down to the very end, verse 22. Watch this. Go to 21, I'm sorry. 21, having confidence in you and your obedience, I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. All of them are in prison. All of them. And these prisoners were the ones that were overseers of the church. Timothy was the overseer of the church. But yet, when you read on in the story and you read on later, guess who takes over the church? The slave. Not only does he take over the church as a pastor, guess what else? He becomes a bishop over the other churches in that region. He was no longer a slave. He was no longer the person that his slave master used to see him as. He was now somebody different. And not only that, Paul saw something inside of him that would bring about change. And one of the greatest revolutions that took place with the revival in the gospel of Jesus Christ is when someone can understand that their perception, how they once were, is no longer what's keeping them bound. Because somebody saw great wealth in them. They saw their worth. Do you see your worth in yourself? Or are you settling for something that is not what you should be settling for? Don't settle just because you're lonely. I'm talking to someone in here. Don't settle because you're lonely. Don't settle because you're tired. And don't settle just because it's been going on so long. If something was promised to you, and before you ever came to this church, you have received prophetic words that were probably about 6 years old, and if it hasn't come to pass, don't give up. You hold on to it. You hold on to that word like it's God, like Jacob did as he was wrestling with God. You don't let go until things change and also changes your perception about you and about him. This particular scripture in the Bible is to show you that God is very concerned about how others see you. Because how they see his children is very important to him. because they are his kids. Have you ever felt like your kids were to go and rob a bank or something, you would be proud of them? But you'll want to protect them. That's how God is. You may do something wrong that's maybe severe, but God is going to protect you. He may not be proud of what you did, but thank God for the blood that was shed. Because he's there to cover you, protect you, and to help you through your transition. He doesn't see you in your current state. He sees you in the final state. His ideal image is your prophetic destiny that you discover on your journey. He wants to see you fulfilled in who you are. But most of us sometimes walk through life in ambiguity and not know who we are or what's inside of us. You are carrying the letter with you that speaks about you. That letter is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he made you sons and daughters in the kingdom, not as slaves. Don't go back to a way you used to be. Let God change and alter your own perception of who you are. We had Luke, Jabez. We had Jacob, Jabez, and we also had Saul, who became Paul. When we can allow God to change the way we are, the way we see ourselves, you can begin to see God move in your life. You really can. It is not until the way you change the way you see yourself, because you'll limit yourself and you'll limit God and the work that he's doing in you. You're not a slave. You're free. Being free, he wants to get to you what's yours. He wants to get to you what's yours. You may have struggles along the way. You may have people have a perception about you that still connects from your past. You may have a perception about you because where you work. You may have a perception about you because some of the things that are going on in your life just don't line up with the gospel like they think it should. Reality is, he is the standard. Let him be God. Let Christ that lives inside of you show you the worth and who you are. Let him change you. Let him. Don't walk out of here thinking, well, I'm good. I don't need to be changed. You act more like the devil himself when you feel like you're perfect. There's always an area in your life that you got to work on. That's why the mess that you go through is because he's trying to show you what's inside of you that needs to come out. Well, I've been going through this for a long time. When are you going to get there? The only reason why they went around in the wilderness for so long is because they didn't understand. The moment that Joshua and Caleb understood, that's our promise that he has for us. We're no longer slave, we're free. They entered in. But a generation of old had to pass away. Can we let the things that have been put on us from mom and dad, forefathers in the faith, other ministries, other pastors, or whatever the case may be, can we let that be dead so that God can give you new life, give you new hope, and give you a brighter future? A brighter future. This is a message that I hope that you understand, that God sees you for who you really are. You may see yourself in the mirror as who you are now, but he sees a son. He sees a daughter. He sees a person that is blessed. Please see yourself that way. We all have letdowns. We all have issues. But know this, that God is going to help you through this process. Amen. Would you just stand on your feet if you would, please?